Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Today, award-winning chef and cookbook author Rocco Desperto joins The Clever Cookster to talk about his book, Cook Your Butt Off, available everywhere this week, as well as The Pound a Day Diet. A cultural phenomenon that revolutionizes dieting, Rocco's books are designed to help you lose up to 5 pounds every 5 days without frustrating plateaus, all while enjoying your favorite foods. Rocco is on a mission to change people's perception of healthy food by proving that healthy and delicious are not mutually exclusive. He's also created a personalized weight loss coaching and food delivery service upon which the Pound a Day Diet book is based. Before we get started, I want to say thanks to the Clever Cookster sponsor, Emeals. Do you ever wish that someone would just hand you a meal plan with shopping lists, recipes, and all? Emeals can help. Emeals makes meal planning simple by sending you weekly menus, shopping lists, and recipes straight to your inbox. There are plenty of meal plans to choose from, including kid-friendly, vegetarian, gluten-free, and Mediterranean. Go ahead, check it out today. For Clever Cookster listeners, you can get a 2-week free trial if you go to quickanddirtytips.com/clevermeals. That's a 2-week free trial of delicious dietitian-vetted meal plans at quickanddirtytips.com/clevermeals. So you've won multiple James Beard Awards and written 10 highly acclaimed cookbooks, and now you're sort of tackling this cause of helping people learn how to cook and eat healthier and more delicious food.
That's true. I'm not sort of doing it. I'm full-on 24/7 evangelistically doing it, yeah. But it's what I live for now.
So your passion for cooking kind of predated that passion for
My passion health. For cooking predates most people alive today. I started a long time ago in the 70s. I was a big fan of a group called Kiss. You've heard of them, right?
Sure.
So my mom was literally convinced that they were four devils in, like, makeup, and she hated them. You know, she was a little old lady from Italy. And I wanted to buy an album, and she wouldn't give me the money. We had a big argument, and she finally said, Rocco, if you wanted this devil of music, go to work. Make you on a money, and I buy you on a record. So the next day I went to work in a restaurant, and I fell in love with the restaurant business. And that was 11 then. So I'm a child bride of restaurants.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Thank you.
The Kiss album?
Yeah. I got the Kiss album. I got, Some Girls by the Stones. Mm-hmm. And I got that, down in Jamaica there are lots of pretty women. That song.
And you went
I got
to
that
cook.
Song. And I took my mom to Coney Island and we had a Chinese food lunch. Aww. I made $30 that week. I was so happy. Yeah.
So when did the health piece of it come in? How did your approach evolve?
So I've also always sort of dabbled with the idea of being healthy. You know how most people have become a foodie on their to-do list? I had become, you know, a guy who was in relatively good shape eating relatively healthy food on my to-do list for a long time. And then in 2005, when I sold Union Pacific, I found myself with a lot of free time. In fact, I didn't know how much time I spent at Union Pacific until I sold it and didn't have to go there every day. And I also, at the same time, coincidentally, got some bad news from my doctor. He half-jokingly said, you know, write your will. Here, I've got bad news. He told me about a bunch of medicine I'd have to take with all kinds of terrible side effects, including depression and impotence. And I was like, what else can I do? Please give me other choices. And he said, I'm going to tell you to diet and exercise. You're not going to do it. Everyone ignores me. And for one time in my life, I was not stubborn. I chose the right path. I started to change my diet and train for an Ironman. And when you train for Ironman, you have to eat 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day. And those guys just eat shakes, bars, that kind of stuff, you know, like athlete food. And that wasn't good enough for me. So I started experimenting with my favorite foods. The first one was lobster bisque. And it turns out that healthy lobster bisque tastes much better than unhealthy lobster bisque. And so that was sort of an illuminating moment for me and served as further incentive to experiment with many, many more dishes. And, you know, 7 healthy books later, I've written about 1,000 healthy recipes that are, again, both healthy and delicious. That's a very important distinction. There's lots of healthy food out there, but it tastes like healthy food.
I think people are often shocked at the idea that you can lose weight both healthily and also very quickly.
Yes,
so tell us about that premise.
It's a great question. A lot of people are not convinced that there is such a thing as safe, rapid weight loss. So weight loss comes from two places. You burn more calories or you eat less calories. So in Pound a Day, I ask you to do both. And I create a calorie deficit of 3,500 per day, which is a pound of fat per day. And I've had I had a client lose 39 pounds in 39 days. So I know it works. I also tested it with 12 other people before I published it. the calorie deficit is easily achieved because most Americans eat 3,790 calories a day. So if I cut them down to 1,000 and they burn another 1,000, there you go. That's your 3,500. Now, in my world, 1,000 calories is a lot of food. You said you spoke to Will. You saw his food?
I have seen people do it.
Pretty good. It's a pretty good amount of food. Yeah. And I make sure the macronutrition levels are exactly where they should be. So when I talk about macronutrition, I mean protein, carbs, and fat. So in my 850 to 1,000 calories a day, you get 100 grams of protein, which is an enormous amount of protein, plenty of nutrition to keep you going for a day, and 30 grams of carbs or less, which puts you in ketogenesis, and 15 grams of fat or less. The fat's really not the issue. It's more the carbs and the processed sugars and processed carbs. So safe, rapid weight loss, possible, doable, not a myth. There are other kinds of crash courses for weight loss that don't work over the long run because they are not safe. Juice cleanse, cabbage soup diet, Atkins, those over time just are not sustainable and are not good for you.
Well, but I think part of what you're doing, too, that really works is you're teaching people not only how to eat healthily, but also how to cook for themselves.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm trying to get the total transformation to happen. And if you don't, if you're on my diet for 4 to 8 weeks, the transformation happens simply because you're eating food that is healthy and delicious. Therefore, you believe that's possible, and then you seek it out.
Talk us through a few of the kinds of recipes that are in Cook Your Butt Off, both for main meals and snacks. I know that there are a lot of snack ideas in all of your books, and snacks are very important to me.
So snacks are important to everyone. Millennials don't eat dinner, breakfast, and they eat snacks. People snack all day now. Grazing and snacking is basically the way most Americans eat, or they eat one big meal a day, which is not a good thing either. But there's every kind of recipe you can imagine, from autumn snack clusters that are made with grated beets and apples, to pancakes, to chocolate mousse, to Asian-style chicken dishes. One of my favorites is chicken with cauliflower rice and glazed eggplant. In that dish, I use cauliflower as a rice replacement. If you take cauliflower and grate it in circles on a box grater, little grains of rice appear, and you can steam it, and it looks just like rice. Here, let me show you, actually, what it looks like. So that's cauliflower, rice.
It looks really good.
Isn't that cool? And it kind of fools the eye, and when you taste it, you know something's different, but it tastes delicious. So, and then the coolest part of the recipes is that I've engineered them to get you into a fat-burning heart zone, which is 60 to 70% of your max heart rate. That's when you oxidize the most fat. After 70%, your body starts to use carbs as its main fuel source. So if you're trying to lose fat or burn fat or lose weight, you want to do low-intensity aerobic exercise, which is what cooking is. Mm-hmm. Cooking is already an exercise, but with these recipes, I've heightened the cardiovascular output by using low-tech equipment and techniques. So there's no food processors or anything electric. It's all box graters, hand chopping, hand whipping, that kind of thing.
How mom used to do it.
Yeah, exactly how mom used to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Give us an example of one of the recipes that uses the cooking process to actually eat weight loss.
All the recipes use the cooking process to increase weight loss and fat burn and heart rate. I use a Fitbit to measure it. I tested it many times, and I had my sous chef test it, and we averaged our results. And the good news about that is our muscle memory for cooking is already pretty strong. So the person who doesn't cook every day and tries these recipes will burn probably 30% more calories attempting to cook the same dishes, because this stuff comes easy to us. All the recipes have calorie burn, calories contained, and net calories. So one of my favorite examples is the chocolate mousse. You burn 150 calories making it. It only contains 95 calories, so you're net negative calories at the end of that process. And I think that's
just better than a treadmill.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, talk about better than a treadmill. Do you ever do a treadmill?
Well, I run outside.
You run
all
year. Okay, great.
But
terrific.
Occasionally, yeah. This time of year.
So the average person burns 400 to 600 calories an hour on a treadmill. You can burn 400 calories an hour cooking. Yeah, easily 200 calories an hour.
So I think...
So even if you only cook for half an hour, that's 200 calories burned, which is great.
And people, I think, feel like both cooking and exercising are the two things that they don't have time for in their daily lives.
So yeah, but if you had to pick one, I think most people would pick cooking, especially if they knew that they could get ahead on calories.
Sure.
Yeah. Everyone hates exercising, right? Not everyone hates cooking.
And the reward is very obvious.
Sure, yeah, yeah. When you cook for yourself, you're in control. You make better choices for yourself than any commercial food processor would.
Who are some of the chefs and cookbooks that have influenced you throughout your career, both early on and then sort of in this move towards health?
You know what? When we say early on, we're talking about like the 17th century, right? So you sure you want to go back that far? Let's see. Wolfgang Puck, of course, was one of the first well-known chefs, one of the first, quote, celebrity chefs. His persona and the mystique and the promise that he made with his restaurants was something that was very appealing to me. I never actually visited a Wolfgang Puck restaurant until I was much older, and I met him later in life. So I didn't know what he did exactly. I could just look at his menus and dream about learning that kind of food. So he was an early influence. And then all the guys people talk about all the time, David Boulay, Daniel Boulud, Greg Kuntz, who I worked for many years at L'Espinasse, was a huge influence. I worked at the Four Seasons in Boston in their restaurant Aujourd'hui. And that, believe it or not, was an incredibly transformative time for me. They had one kitchen there. And Chef Mark Baker was there at the time, and he was a pretty badass chef. And he made us do everything in that same kitchen, so room service, banquets, and the fine dining. So that was a really great moment for me to learn how to multitask and do all kinds of food. And then I was in France and Israel as a 16 and 18 year old. I worked for Dominique Cession at the Jardin du Cygne in the Prince de Galles Hotel in Paris for 2 years. So he obviously was a huge influence. And just living in Paris and enjoying that lifestyle for 2 years as a 18, 19, 20-year-old was really transformative.
We're going to do a lightning round now.
Oh, boy. Lightning round.
So first thing that comes to mind.
Is it better or worse than the Us Weekly lightning round?
We'll find out. What is the secret?
They ask questions like, which celebrity do you want to bone the most, you know?
Okay, it's better.
Yeah, it's better than that.
I don't
Thank
read
you.
A lot of
yeah.
Us Weekly, okay. So I wasn't
yeah.
sure.
Good.
What's the secret ingredient that you think everyone should have in their kitchen?
It is still kind of a secret. Monk fruit extract. Monk fruit is the new non-nutritive sweetener that's 100% natural, actually has medicinal and therapeutic properties. The Chinese use it to heal, not to sweeten, to lose weight. So monk fruit, or otherwise known as lohangguo.
That's a good one. That's actually
yeah,
a
it's
secret.
Kinda, it's
yeah,
it's kind of it's a secret and a great
a lot of
a great
people
thing
say salt. So
salt is an obvious one. Yeah.
What's your favorite one-use kitchen tool or appliance that you think is really worth the space?
The box grater, without question. The box grater is so versatile. You can do anything. You can make purees for soups, purees for like mashed potatoes, sweet potato puree. Great ginger, garlic. I mean, it's just a wonderful piece of equipment. And if you never wash it, no one will know. It's like so low maintenance.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You just bang it on the cutting board at the end, maybe a quick rinse. One piece of equipment you definitely should not wash is a cast iron pan.
Right.
That we agree on?
That we agree.
Clever
on.
Cookster?
I don't know about the grater because I actually use mine for cheese occasionally.
Oh, well, the cheese, yeah. You have to have two graters then. Yeah.
What was the last great meal you ate?
How great? Like, life-altering great?
Relatively great.
New York Sushi Co. a few months ago. I took my entire staff to New York Sushi Co. It's a 10-seat Japanese, kaiseki-style Japanese sushi restaurant. And there's a guy from New Jersey behind the counter with tattoos. He is not remotely Japanese, but he's as good as any Japanese master. It was really a delicious, like, totally life-altering experience, yeah.
And what was the last great meal you cooked?
Oh, I never cook a great meal. Who told you to cook great meals? This week, a few of my demos were good. No, let me think and give you a serious answer.
It's a lightning round, so don't
yeah,
think
but we're, this is not live, so it doesn't matter. You can't have lightning rounds and tape shows that are going to be edited. So the premise already is... okay, I know it. It was just before the holidays. I was invited for a weekend to friends, and I brought tomahawk ribeye, 21-day-old aged, mm-hmm. you know, dry aged. And I brought Gamberone Rosso from the Bay of Naples. And I found out about something called an Oklahoma Joe smoker. And I cooked both on the smoker, and that was pretty mind-blowing.
Wow.
I didn't have to do much to them because the smoker did most of the work. But Gamberone Rosso, I don't know if you've had them. They're these beautiful, big, bright red shrimp, and they're like the perfect bite of sugar and seawater. It's just an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What food do you hate and never eat?
Not a lot. There's one food that I had, and I'm a big fan of exotic foods. I could take on Zimmerman any day. Like, we could go to any country and eat anything. But there was a Japanese food purveyor who sold me my fresh horseradish, my wasabi, fresh wasabi, and some of the best tuna I ever bought, and my fresh citrus from Japan. And then one day he comes in with cod sperm and says, hey, this is a thing we use in Japan. You whip it up, you do, you know, he gave me three possibilities. I tried to experiment with it. It was so disgusting.
But you tried all three options.
No, I tried one option.
Oh, okay. Then you...
And then I threw it away.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And to this day, I've never had anything more disgusting in my life.
Besides washing graters, what is a kitchen pet peeve that you wish people would stop doing?
I wish they would stop not tasting their food. People don't realize that they come with the most important cooking tool, their palates. It's honed and refined over your lifetime. It is the perfect cooking tool for you. And if you don't use it, you're not going to get anywhere in cooking. So cooking is super dynamic. Ingredients change all the time. It doesn't matter if the recipe is, quote, a perfect recipe. The tomatoes the recipe tester used are different than the tomatoes you're going to have. So you have to taste and react constantly. And I think too few people do that. And I think the difference between a good chef and a truly great chef who makes memorable food is how often they eat their own food. And not just taste. I'm talking about eat big bites of it. So when you go into those restaurants and you see those chefs putting their fingers in the food and you think, oh, gross, I should leave this place. No, you're wrong. The food is probably going to be excellent.
Perfect. Well, that's all I have for
that's
you
it. That's
today.
Your lightning that's round. That was super easy.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
Thanks again to this week's sponsor, Emails. Don't forget to get your 2-week free trial. That's 2 weeks of delicious meal plans over at quickanddirtytips.com/clevermeals. Check out Rocco's newest book, Cook Your Butt Off, as well as the Pound a Day Diet and his website, roccodespirito.com. And join us next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.